everyone! Welcome back to another installment of Lead Singer Syndrome, a podcast where I, your host, Shane Told, I talk to other lead singers about what it's like to be the front man or front woman of a band. And I'm really excited about this episode. Originally, this was just going to be like a Twitch thing. Kyle was going to come on. We were going to talk about some stuff going on with his band. And this was really good, really informative. And Kyle's audio sounded great, by the way. So I figured, what the hell? Let's turn this into a full-blown episode of the podcast because you guys need to hear this band. They are called Brand of Sacrifice. They just put out an absolutely phenomenal record. I'm already calling it the heavy record of the year. It's seriously that good. It's called Lifeblood. This record is like a freight train, man. It is so intense. It is relentless, yet it has these beautiful breaks in it as well. I think it's a perfect heavy album. So make sure you check it out after you're done listening to this. It is very, very good. Before we get into that, I want to remind you all again, lots of great things are going on with this podcast, and a lot of it is happening on Twitch over at twitch.tv/ShaneTold. I'm doing all kinds of podcasts live, including every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Last week, I had Nothing Nowhere on the show. Joe is the man. That was such a good talk. Don't worry if you missed it. It will be coming up one of these weeks on this podcast right here, audio only. But if you want to watch more things like that, you know, visual component, if you want to interact with me and the guests, make sure you head over again, twitch.tv/ShaneTold. Give me a follow. It's completely free. And once again, every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we do it live. And if you're a member of the All Access Club, you can watch all the stuff later as well. If you're interested in that and really supporting the show, head over to leadsingersyndrome.com/All Access. And leadsingersyndrome.com, the domain actually expired. I blame GoDaddy. Who uses GoDaddy in 2021? Apparently, I still do. And I forgot to renew it. And luckily, nobody snaked it from me. So leadsingersyndrome.com, still a thing, luckily. But once again, yes, the All Access Club link is leadsingersyndrome.com/All Access. This Sunday, me and Mike Howell, we're going to be hanging out on Twitch, and we are going to be interviewing slash listening to a whole bunch of great local bands from all over the world. If you are in a local band, get at me or at Mike. Mike's handle is at Slappy Slam. My handle is at Shane Told on Instagram. If you want to be included, all you have to have is music on Spotify. That is the only requirement, and available, obviously, to chat with us on Twitch. The only reason that you require Spotify is so we can play the music the same way without having to, you know, dig through a bunch of awkward files and stuff. So if you want to get a little love for your band, we would love to have you. Get at us. We're going to be doing this on Sunday, I think around 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. Eastern. So check that out as well. Again, so many things happening on Twitch, so make sure that you add me on there. All right, well, let's get into it. Here it is, my conversation with Kyle Anderson of Brand of Sacrifice. What's up, man?
How's it going?
I'm here with Kyle Anderson of Brand of Sacrifice. This is cool.
This is awesome.
Thanks for doing it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Dude, I'm really excited to talk to you. because not only are you from my neck of the woods, you're, you know, in a newer band. I know you've been, I know all about, you know, the After Image, and I know all about your previous, you know, life, but here we are now. You're making some incredible music. And
thank you.
It's just a little bit bittersweet, isn't it? That it has to come at a time when, you know, you can't get out on the road and, like, you know, show off your stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that one. It's I'm itching right now to get back to it.
Right? So walk me through it. Like, your last record, I thought was super good, God Hand, which came out before the pandemic, but of course, you know, it wasn't too long after that we had to pack up our things and go home. Where were you guys about a year ago when that happened?
We were actually on tour in Europe at the time when it all went down. Yeah. We had to cancel the last couple of dates on the run. I think we were in Germany at the time, and basically at that point, Trump had indicated that they were going to close down the borders and stop flights and things like that. So we're kind of scrambling at 3 a.m. at that time to get back. And luckily the Canadian side of things wasn't as strict at that point, but just in case we went back. But that's where it all started, I guess, when we started hearing news of this pandemic. We were actually on the road overseas.
Brutal.
And got back and continued to work on our album that we're about to put out, Lifeblood.
Yep.
And that was sort of the focus ever since we got home from Europe. So
yeah, dude. No, man, it was the same with Silverstein. We were out in the States. We were down in North Carolina. So, you know, not as far from home as you were, obviously, but it was seriously like we'd never gone through anything like this before. And the idea of the border actually being closed and us not being allowed to come in was a real possibility at that point.
It's crazy to think about.
It is. So, you know, you guys are just kind of finding your stride, right? With all these, you know, finding these fans and everything, and you got to go away. One thing that I was really impressed reading about you guys is that you guys are self-produced. Your guitar player, who you call Leo, he pretty much writes everything, you know, sends it to you. You put your vocals down on it, and then he records, produces, mixes, and masters the whole thing, which is kind of unbelievable because, first of all, metal, let's just call it metal for sake of argument, is not easy to record or mix or master or make sound good.
Definitely
in general. And, you know, for him just to be doing this, you know, does he produce other bands? He should if he doesn't. But, you know, I know you've worked with people like Jordan Valeriot before, you know, and stuff like that. It's just wild that he can pull that off. It's very impressive.
I totally agree. He is legitimately a wizard. He's not of this world, I don't think. I think he actually gained some of his knowledge from our friend Jordan as well, who's got some great mixing tutorials available if you guys are interested.
Right.
Hardcore Music Studio.
That's right.
We've been making music together for probably, I got to say, maybe 8 years now together or something like that.
Yeah.
And throughout that entire time, he's been working on his mixing skills and developing new techniques. And it's just insane to listen to the stuff that he used to make back then and compare it to now.
Of course. Right.
He's definitely an extremely talented individual and a guy who actually hates playing guitar, believe it or not. He prefers the production side of things.
Oh,
but he's an incredible guitarist too.
Yeah, it's so. Probably the same way that I hate singing. Oh, that's really funny. Well, it gives us a good opportunity now. Like, let's go back and talk about, you know, you talk about your relationship with your guitar player, Leo, and, you know, your old band you were in together. But let's go even back a little further. So I know you're from Ontario, Canada. What part of Ontario are you from, and where did you grow up, and what was it like, you know, with your family structure and all that?
So right now I'm living just in East York, close to the downtown core in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And I grew up actually in the suburbs of Markham.
Okay.
So there were a lot of local, it was more of like a local scene that I attended at the time. Lots of really cool bands. I think I started going to shows maybe in 2007 or so, right, when I was in high school, and I was just absolutely mesmerized by the hardcore and metalcore scene. And it was cool back then. It didn't matter what genre you're in. Every band was on the same bill together.
Yeah.
Whereas I think now it's a little more tightly knit between genres, but yep, back then there was no holds barred. It was insane. But that's sort of where I started. And basically just, I think I did the thing where, you know, all the best people from different bands join a new band and create a local super group, quote unquote.
Right. Yeah. That's how a lot of it happens, for sure.
And the Afterimage was sort of a band that I started myself and had an idea of, and kind of grouped up with some friends from Barrie, Ontario at the time.
Right.
And Leo, who was involved in that as well, later on in that project, he was in another band, and he was in the States, living in the States for a while. Came back to Canada, and we lived together and just made music all day pretty much at that point, when in 2013 or so. And pretty much from there, the Afterimage kept going on, and we made some mistakes, and, you know, went through the trials, right, of learning how to be a band. And right, I think from those mistakes, we figured out things a little bit better for the future with Brand of Sacrifice. But
yeah, for sure. I don't know. And I think that's almost every success story in music has a failed band before it, right? Like, there's, definitely, you hear about the stories where it's like, oh, yep, these are the same people I've been playing with since I was like 12 years old. You know, there's tons of those stories for sure, but the vast majority, it's like nope, like this was my old band and we were actually pretty good. Like, sometimes people are like, my old band might have even been better than the one that got popular. It's just that so much of it is figuring out, you know, what to do, and the business side of things, which as you get older you can navigate a lot better.
Oh, totally. I think both Leo and I picked up a lot from working in the corporate world. We both sort of took a pause from music for a few years, and I went to the insurance side of things, which I was pretty good at, but yeah, definitely wasn't passionate about. Leo's involved in big tech over in the States. And okay, so I think we gathered some intel from working in those fields and sort of applied it to our band a little bit more. And it's been pretty successful, which is,
yeah,
pretty cool.
No, I mean, even just going to your website, I think it's brandofsacrifice.com.
Yeah, that's right.
It's even a great website. And like, so much of the time these days, I feel like the website is such an afterthought. It went from, you're probably old enough to remember, like, when, maybe when you're old enough to remember when bands didn't really have websites. Then, like, yep, everybody had websites. Then nobody really cared about websites. It was all about social media. Like, everyone was pushing their MySpace and Facebook. It's still, mm-hmm, a little bit like that, but I feel like now it's coming a little bit back to websites, and you guys actually have a really good one. Like, that little virtual tour you can take, you know, I'm talking about, right? I don't know what to call it, where you can go and, like, oh, pre-order the record here or watch the video here. Like, that shit's awesome, and not a lot of bands do that.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I think with this album, we wanted to sort of think outside the box a little bit with how we were going to market it. And our marketing manager, Bradley, had, okay, the idea, yep, to mess with some VR. So we sort of fleshed that out over a few months. And cool. I think it'd be cool, really cool one day if we had the budget to sort of make like a video game, like maybe like a one level video game or something like that.
Sure.
You can actually fully play and unlock different aspects of the album and things like that.
That'd, sure, cool. I think that would be amazing. I mean, speaking of video games, you guys are giving away a PlayStation 5. I mean, that's, we're right, on Twitch. This is the right platform for it. If you want to win a PS5 with a Lifeblood Brand of Sacrifice skin on it, that's tight. What, you head over to your website? Is it what, you pre-order the record and you're automatically entered? something like that.
Yeah, you can pre-order the record. You're automatically entered at that point. Even prior pre-orders were eligible as well. And there's actually no purchase necessary as well.
Oh, okay. So
if you go to brandedsacrifice.com and click on contest, you can see the full details. You can simply follow our socials and shoot an email using the form there, and you could be eligible. No purchase is really necessary.
It can be yours, but you don't want to be that guy that, oh, no purchase necessary, and doesn't even like the band, doesn't even pre-order the record and wins the PS5. You got to pre-order that shit. No, that's awesome, man. I knew about you guys, I guess, from Jordan, you know, because Jordan Valeriot produced a whole whack of Silverstein records. And I remember when he was working with your old band, who I thought your old band was great. And I was kind of surprised, you know, when I learned about Brandon Sacrifice that you were the same singer for sure, because the vocal style is completely different. I mean, the whole band is really, really different. I mean, you know, for people that are just tuning in and don't know much about Brandon Sacrifice, we're talking about like very, very extreme, very technical, very fast, very guttural vocally. You know, it bordering on deathcore. I don't know if you can still throw that term around, but deathcore influenced for sure. And your old band was kind of like, had some elements of post-hardcore, like a lot of singing and triumphant kind of melodies and stuff. And that pretty much, you took a full 180 away from that for Brand of Sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. Funny enough, Brand of Sacrifice was never meant to be a serious full-time project. It was a side project for me to sort of unleash the heavier side, stuff that we normally wouldn't include in the After Image material. So I just wanted to sort of take some deathcore influence and sort of slamming influence stuff and create a little EP that was based on my favorite manga called Berserk. And we created that, and it started to gain much more traction than the last full length the After Image put out, which is still blows my mind to this day. But it wasn't something that we had planned to be a real band. And both Leo and I at that time were working our respective jobs and our careers and at the office doing our thing, and then all of a sudden this project starts picking up, and I still don't really believe it, but here we are.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, it's funny, you know, how, just like you said, you can work so hard on something. And I read you spent like 50 or 60 grand, that's Canadian dollars, so not as much as people in the chat are probably thinking, but 50 or 60 grand on your full length record for the After Image, and like, that's a lot of money to spend for, you know, something that you guys just kind of make for fun to be bigger than, you know, and that's just, that just teaches you something that, like, sometimes something that, I don't know, I don't want to say it comes easier, but just something that, you know, is a little more fun and a little more fresh. Not only is it fresh for you, but it can be fresh for people listening to it as well, you know?
Yeah. It still blows my mind for sure. I think it was sort of also maybe the right place, the right time, kind of thing as well. Sure. We didn't expect this to happen, but I think there's sort of a resurgence happening on the deathcore side of things as well. So many people in the chat may not know, but deathcore was mainly a thing probably in the MySpace days. It was having its heyday, but there's sort of a few modern bands that are coming out now, like Shadow of Intent, Angel Maker, to name a few, and it's sort of having a resurgence there. So,
no, totally. I think that part of it was, you know, the deathcore genre was too, first of all, like the idea of it was like better than it actually was, if that makes any sense. Like, it's like, wait a second, like I love metal and I love, you know, I want it to be like as aggressive as possible, and I love like the elements of hardcore, and I love short songs. Like, I don't necessarily need to sit through like a 6 minute or 7 minute long metal song that has like three guitar solos and like some like weird awkward presentation of some fantasy that I don't, you know what I mean? Like deathcore was like, okay, I'm bringing all the great elements of extreme metal,
and then I'm like putting it in a way that's more like, I don't know, down to earth. You know, I think that now it's kind of like it had to die and be reborn for people to be like, this is like a great idea. We need to do this music, but we need to actually, you know, follow through on it and make it awesome, not just kind of put together a bunch of stuff that ends up, you know, ends up sort of turning into like a weird joke of itself for, I'm not really sure why.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think sort of pushing it forward was the key there. Like, for example, if you look at a band like Shadow of Intent, they've got symphonic elements. They've got a hint of black metal. There's other things that are coming into play to add to the sort of formula that may have gotten stale to some listeners from deathcore. So on our side, we add like electronic influence. We add black metal. We add regular death metal. We add slam. We add a bunch of different things to the mix to give listeners something maybe a little more fresh than they're used to.
For sure. You know, it's interesting because with a lot of bands, you know, especially you coming from a band that you know used to do clean vocals in, you know, moving into a band where, as far as I've heard, you don't at all. Maybe a little bit in the background, but there's no, you know, we don't have clean choruses like you did in your old band. But what's really amazing to me is just the range that you still managed to put in with your aggressive vocals. And like, it's crazy. Like, you're doing stuff from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs to kind of everything in between. A lot of creativity. How do you decide with any given part in any given song what you're going to do? I feel like it's, you got a lot of tools in the toolbox. It must be difficult. Do you do a lot of experimentation with that?
I have a really weird process when it comes to writing. So Leo is nice enough to send me a fairly produced instrumental to work with usually. So it's not, you know, the drum sounds are pretty close and guitars are where they're going to be in the final.
Right.
So I can really vibe out with it. So I'll toss that into my DAW. I'll plug my mic in and I'll write a few lines and I'll actually track them as if I'm tracking a final song. And that's how I'm writing. So I'll put in all my doubles. I'll put in everything in there as I'm writing the song. And then eventually I'll come to a point where a whole song is done and it's fully tracked and I can send it back to him at that point.
Wow.
Sometimes I get stuck though. That's the only caveat there. So sometimes I'll finish 60 seconds of a song and then I'll come back to it 3 months later and continue and try and go back to that same headspace, which is weird to do sometimes. But as far as choosing what type of tones I want to do, I just experiment in the song as I'm tracking it. I'm a huge fan of layering things. I like to make the song sound larger than life. I think that's part of our boss tool set there.
For sure.
So I'll just sort of, I'll vibe with it and I'll see, okay, I didn't really like that mid scream. Let's change it to a high.
Right.
Or that's kind of how I'll go with it. And I'll listen to the song. And I think the main point here is that I'll be listening to it, I'll close my eyes, and if I find something that I've done breaks the immersion, then I'll change it.
Yeah,
and that's
cool.
Sort of how I do it.
How do you tackle lyrics on that side? Because a lot of times, you know, with metal and when you're not necessarily like trying to find a melody or like a pitch, you know, it's about the patterns, right? And do you find right away you're trying to write lyrics at the same time that you're in these steps? Do you have things written beforehand? How exactly do you tackle that? I'm always interested in knowing that from a metal guy.
I'll usually have an idea of what I want to talk about, whether, for example, like our single Lifeblood is about the protagonist Guts from Berserk and his relationship with his love interest in the anime or the manga. And that was the theme for that song. So I knew sort of what I wanted to talk about. I'll write a few lines in the vibe I want it to be, and I'll try and track them, and I'll change a word here and there as I'm tracking it. Okay, that word is too many syllables here for this pattern that I just came up with. And I sort of freestyle it as I'm going. And then I'll track all that. I'll listen back to it and I'll say, okay, what's going to happen next? and then I'll try and write some more words, and then I'll track them. So it's like sort of unfolding piece by piece, going back to the lyrics, tracking, going back to lyrics, tracking again. And that's how I sort of do it.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. No, I just picture, you know, you guys playing a show in Europe and there's some like 50-year-old like German heavy metal dude, like, this band is so fucking awesome. And like, little does he know that you're writing these lyrics about your favorite manga. Like, I don't know. I don't know why that just makes me chuckle, but it's just funny to think of, you know, a lot of times, you know, just, it's like, you know, cute stuff, kind of like, you know, I mean, obviously not always, but there's that element of like animation and stuff. And then you're just bringing like the most brutal, some of the most brutal music I've ever heard to the table. So I love that. I love that duality there. That's rad.
That's awesome. That's hilarious to think about. I can picture the exact guy you're talking about too.
Right? 100%. A few more things I want to ask you about. The first one being Melissa Cross, who a lot of people know of her from the Zen of Screaming DVD that came out, that was kind of a game changer. Well, not kind of a game changer. It was a game changer for a lot of people. That everybody from Randy from Lamb of God to Keith from Every Time I Die, those guys like were swearing by those techniques. And I read that that's actually kind of how you got into screaming as well.
It is. I remember I was a kid in high school and I was listening to this band called Still Remains that I really liked at the time, metalcore band.
Yeah.
And As I Lay Dying and bands in that sort of style of metalcore.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I really want to sound like these guys. How do I do it? And I remember seeing some of those Melissa Cross videos, just shorts, not the full versions on YouTube at the time when YouTube was in its infancy.
Yeah.
I managed to get myself a copy and started off learning the above the pencil sort of Fry screams to begin with. And eventually I sort of transitioned to more false chord type stuff. But that was really how I started to begin with, was learning the proper technique, how to do Fry screams from Melissa Cross. And she's incredible with what she does. And I love the presentation. And I think there's a reason why every singer that's a pro will swear by it if they were able to get a lesson with her, for example. So
I did. I actually did a couple lessons with her. Have you ever met her?
I've not. Oh, it's something I need to do.
She's a trip. She's the best. I forget what year it would have been. I want to say around 2006, maybe. Something like that. And it was like right when Silverstein, we were starting to get popular. We'd put out that Discovering the Waterfront album, but thank you, man. And, you know, it was just difficult, like singing every night, singing, screaming and all that. And I was like, well, maybe this will help me out. So I'd watch DVDs and I, you know, kind of knew a little bit of what was going on, but I felt like I needed a little more insight. So I went to New York. And I went to her apartment where she gives her lessons and everything. And I think I did 4 days with her. I did 2 days, four sessions. That's what it was. We did two days, like a morning session. And then I'd leave and I'd come back and do an afternoon session. And honestly, like the biggest thing that she gave me was confidence. Like I walked in and she was like, I listened to your album. You're amazing. And I was like, wow, she thinks I'm amazing. And I think that honestly, there's all the techniques and stuff, and some of them resonated. Oh, we got a kitty cat. Introduce the kitty cat.
Her name's Little.
Little. Oh, I love that. And she's a bit of a lab cat. She's not afraid of chilling. My cat would freak out and run away and probably try to scratch me.
She's every time when I'm doing something of importance, this is when she joins. That's what she likes to do. She knows.
And the chat is loving the cat too. Here we go. Here they come. Orange kitty. Oh my God. I love the cat. But back to Melissa Cross to finish my story. Mainly it was confidence that she gave me, she's legit and she knows her stuff. And I have told so many people like, hey, if you need help or anything, she's there, not just on the technical vocal side of things, but also on just the mental aspect of it. How are you on that side of things? Like I know you guys go on, you guys haven't been on tour in a year, obviously, but how do you do on tour with that and having to manage that when you have days where, you know, maybe you're feeling a little off?
Yeah, there's definitely been a few times where, you know, the cold weather gets the best of you. And that's my main, as soon as I get sick with a cold, that's the end for me.
It's horrible.
When I'm feeling sick like that, or I'm having a day where I wake up and I'm like, I'm not feeling myself as far as vocals are going to go, I just try and sleep it off as much as I can and not talk as much.
Yeah.
And then I warm up a little more than I normally do.
Okay.
I'd say. And I still use some of the warmups that I learned from Melissa Cross, actually. Sometimes like the vibrations with the scales and the using the different syllables and repeating them in a form of a scale, things like that. I use those still.
Yeah.
Just make sure I'm super hydrated with lukewarm water. And then I just go out and I try and feel the crowd as much as possible and get into it, even though I know I'm not feeling my best. But I think usually the lifesaver is the crowd. 'Cause you can kind of, when you're feeling the response and the energy back from the audience, you can sort of forget about the fact that you may be feeling off for that day. So I think all those little preps beforehand, plus really vibing out with the audience, that's my remedy, I guess.
For sure, for sure. I was reading another story you were talking about when you guys got, I guess, asked to be on the Summer Slaughter tour, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And, you know, now I know we're going back a couple of years, but, you know, walk me through that moment when, you know, you guys haven't even played a show in Toronto yet, and here you are getting asked to play, you know, this one of the biggest extreme metal festivals, you know, across the States and everything. What was that like for you at that moment? And I heard you accepted it before even asking the rest of the guys if it was okay to do it.
Yeah. I saw the email and I was like, are they kidding? Like, because at that point we had done one tour. We did a one US tour. We didn't even play a local show, as you mentioned before. We didn't play in Toronto yet. Our first show was actually in New Jersey, of all places.
Yeah.
So we did a tour with our good friends in a band called Signs of the Swarm. They're from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And that was just an awesome bro fest, that entire tour. It was a great way to get started for the band. And so we're just sort of thinking about what was going to happen next. And, you know, our agent at the time, Daniel DeFonce, he was sort of looking for things to set into motion. And then he sent us this email and we look at it and we're like, what? Like, are they kidding? Do they actually want us? We're such a young band and whatnot. And so it was true. And we had to respond within that same day, because I guess perhaps the original opener might have dropped or something
right.
like that.
Yep.
And Leo and I talked about it and we're like, okay, we just have to say yes. We'll figure out the rest later.
Exactly.
So we said yes and accepted it. And I just told the guys, we just confirmed for Summer Slaughter, and no one asked any questions about it. They were just overwhelmingly excited. And that was one of the hardest tours we ever did.
I bet. Were you guys set up? Like, did you have a van and all that stuff ready to go? Or did you have to figure all that out?
So we did have a van. We had a van with no air conditioning.
For Silverstein, so, van too.
Summer Slaughter. That's not the best.
The first Silverstein van had not only had no air conditioning, but the heat stuck permanently on.
Oh, so, no. That's rough.
Yep, it was. Oh.
The tough part with that was literally everywhere we went was boiling hot.
Yeah.
There was no relief in any city that we played. And even when it was a sort of a rainy day, it was still humid and disgusting.
Yeah.
So I think I just lost half my body weight in sweat from that tour. So that was really trying, and I think that beat us right into shape as far as becoming a band. And plus the load-ins and load-outs were super quick. You had to be off the stage right away. 7 bands on the package, so you got to move quickly. So that was, I think, a great character building exercise as well as an amazing opportunity. So
for sure. No, for sure. I mean, when you're literally first of seven on a tour like that, I can imagine people being, I don't want to say people are dicks to you, but definitely very short leash for anything, you know? but I guess, you know, that's how you learn how to be a band, right? And how to not only exist in the touring world and get by and figure out things from day to day, but also learn about each other, right? And how to, you know, deal with the friendships and just those relationships within the band, you know?
Oh, 100%, because you can't escape your band members when you're on tour. You're with each other pretty much 24/7. And it's like I know a lot of band guys always make the joke that being in a band's like a marriage between five or four guys or whatever it might be, but it's totally true.
Yeah. It's a marriage that you just don't have any sex. So a sexless marriage. That doesn't sound all that good, does it?
No, it doesn't.
One thing I love that you did on your record, God Hand, was that you have a song called After Image on it. And it's kind of like a mellow sort of like interlude track. To me, that shows a little bit about your own personalities too, that you're willing to put out this, you know, record in this genre and basically just totally be able to take the piss a little bit, you know, from your old project and throw that in there. Is there a story behind that?
I felt that track sounded like sort of the destruction or the ending of something. It felt a little bleak. And so I thought it'd be hilarious. I'm like, hey, Leo, wouldn't it be funny if this track was called After Image? Because since that band's pretty much done here.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, we're doing that. So we just stuck with it. And we get that comment a lot for those who are familiar with the After Image, but I thought it was funny. And I think it was a little nod. And I like to make nods. I'm a huge proponent of Easter eggs and nods to
awesome
things that people might find obscure. But I like to stick them in there, and for the average listener, they might not see something like that, but I think it's awesome when people find them.
Hell yeah. No, I love that little bit so much. So what's going on next for you guys? I assume, obviously, you probably have shows booked that we don't know if are going to happen. That might be a thing. Are you guys doing any live streams or anything like that, or have you?
We had planned one, but the next lockdown occurred here in Toronto, so we've sort of put that off for the time being. And some of our guys are in the States now and some are in Toronto, so it's sort of a logistics issue at that
point. That is super tough. My band, we've done a few of them, but it's not even easy, and we still live in the same province. I can't even imagine what bands have to do in different countries. Cause maybe you could cross the border. You guys probably have like P2 visas or O2 visas or something, right?
So, yeah, that, and we're also like a registered business, so it would be considered a business, a trip of that. Okay. And I think that's allowed to a degree, but I think it's just a matter of finding the right time. And I think we'd really want to put a good amount of budget into it, make sure it's, you know, really, really eventful to watch. Cause I think, recreating the experience is never going to be the same as a live show, but I want to make sure that it's a little more theatrical as well.
So. No, for sure. I mean, that's the problem, right? Is like, especially for a band like you guys that, you know, you're still an emerging artist, you know, you put out a great debut full length record and another one's on the way, but you know, when you're talking about doing a live stream where you've got to make sure that you sound good, it looks good, you've thought things through, you know, you kind of have to be on the same level as bands that are much bigger than you or have been together a lot longer. That's tough, right? And to find, I don't know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 that it could realistically cost to do it right. That's not easy for a small band.
Totally. And I think it's something that is important to us down the line. I guess we'll have to see how this year unfolds. It's not looking too good so far, but we'll have to see. It is something that we definitely are considering and trying to make work. But I think for the time being, we're sort of focusing on the album rollout, because it's coming out in less than a month, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
March 5th.
March 5th. Nice.
And so we're going to do a live stream on YouTube, sort of going through each song and reacting to it with everyone there. We're going to do that probably maybe even before it comes out, a day before, something like that. So that's the next sort of stream that's planned at the moment, just like the whole band hanging out kind of thing.
Awesome. No, that's all awesome. Yeah, it's funny. I was looking that apparently you guys started in February of 2018. So that means that a third of your band's career, you've been sitting around in lockdown. Yeah. That sucks, dude. Oh, that's awful, man. What luck, huh?
It's tough, but we're trying to make the best of it. And I think in some ways it's actually pretty useful to get music out now, because I think people are looking to consume it. So I think that's a positive in that respect. It's not positive in the sense that I can't be on the road, which is sort of what I love to do best. But I can wait. I can get back to it soon, but
right on. No, I mean, that's true. I mean, there's some bands that are waiting and saying, oh, we're not going to put anything out until we can tour. And I think that that's a mistake. And I think it's good that you guys are not waiting. You've put this record together already. You know, the singles that have come out, Animal, Lifeblood, Demon King, all bangers, and people are excited. So when this record comes out, I think all it's going to do is just bring more hype for when you guys can finally get out there and continue to work on your craft. And you know, that's sometimes been a problem for bands, like doing shows, touring before maybe they're ready. And you guys now, you know, you guys have had a little time to make sure that you are working on your craft and you're ready to do it.
Yeah, I think a huge part of what helped us push forward with this new record was the experience we gained from being on the road,
right?
Sort of understanding which parts are more better for the pit, or you know, people can sing along to, or which parts where people are really feeling things like that. Just the normal things you sort of observe over time, and I think that helped. And which parts are a lot more possible to recreate and sound nice and tight in a live setting too.
Yeah.
So I think those things, plus the experience that we gained as people, you know, going through the trials and tribulations of touring, not that it's all bad. It's mostly positive in my opinion, but it's definitely tough.
For sure.
I think all of that came together and really moved the record forward. And it was nice that Leo doesn't tour full time with the band. He'll do a few select tours when we're on the road. But right before the lockdown occurred, he actually toured with us. So he was able to be in that same headspace when we did our Europe tour. So
what he's doing, so he's the one that's in the States doing corporate world stuff.
That's right.
So he can't come on the road all the time with you guys. Hey, that's exactly. Okay. That's okay. I love that in 2021, I was going to say 2020, 2021 now, we're all just able to, you know, make it work, and there are no rules anymore. And I dig that. Question here from Taylor. I'll throw it up on the screen. If anyone has any questions for Kyle, feel free to post them in the chat. We can talk about them. Is this a concept album? That's a good question.
Yeah, this album is sort of a showcase of, I mentioned it a bit earlier, but for those who might have just tuned in, the band sort of is based upon the manga / anime called Berserk.
Yeah.
And this particular record sort of is from the perspective of the protagonist called Guts and his interactions that occur in the universe and with certain select characters. But I did try to write it sort of high level so the average person could sort of connect with the themes and ideas in mind per song. Cool. But technically it is a concept album mostly focusing on the protagonist Guts from Berserk.
Nice. There you go. And yeah, so everybody needs to go pre-order this album at brandofsacrifice.com, and you can win a PlayStation 5.
That's right.
Which we already mentioned, but we'll mention it again because that's sick. How did that work anyway? Do you have somebody that skins it, or like?
Yeah, we got a custom skin created for it, and locating the console was the most difficult aspect of it. They're pretty difficult to find at the moment.
Right.
Luckily, our friend Bradley, Zorg Dreger.
Oh yeah,
was able to source one for us.
I know him. Here he is, right here.
Our homie. Hey. He's also our marketing manager.
There you go. There he is. Love him.
he went down to I believe was it Scarborough? I'm not 100% sure. And picked it up, and then right now we're gonna get it all skinned up, and this controller is also skinned too, which is really cool.
No, I just picture someone going to Scarborough and like having to dodge bullets or whatever to get a PS5. I'm just kidding. I was born in Scarborough, so I can make jokes. I can make jokes about what hospital?
Scarborough General.
I was Scarborough Centenary.
Okay, okay.
Almost the same hospital, that close. That's funny though. Look at this. Born in the same, it's not even a city anymore. My passport always said place of birth Scarborough, and the last time I got it renewed, they said, oh yeah, Scarborough, it's not a place anymore, it's gonna have to say Toronto now. And I was like, come on man. I'm hard, look at me, I'm hard, I'm from the borough.
Oh, okay, sorry, it was in Toronto, this particular one. Okay. He didn't go to Scarborough. I have to correct it, the story, but I mixed up to a different one that didn't pan out.
Yes. Okay. Well, regardless, don't worry, we have the PS5.
And yes, it is on hand.
And it can be yours. A couple more questions if you don't mind kicking around here for a minute, Kyle. Sure. Here's a question from M. Dotwood. I don't know the answer to this. Can you touch on Earthshatter? Is that project still a thing?
Yeah, so we have a side project, which is a little more metalcore. That Leo and I created. It's sort of, if you took, I guess, maybe a hint of deathcore and mixed it with sort of like Killswitch and Azalea Dying, and then Knocked Loose, put that all together.
Nice.
It's got like clean choruses again. I had an itch to do some fully clean vocals again, and that's in that band. And
cool.
It's still really heavy. It's got, on the first EP we did, we had a second vocalist as well as guitar player is also doing vocals. So we kind of do like a back and forth type thing. His name's Luke. He's in a band called The Parallel, which is from Barrie, Ontario.
There you go.
And, yeah, we do plan to make some new music for that. But right now Boss is the main focus. So, it's not dead. We're busy with Boss at the moment.
It makes a lot of sense. Another question here. I like this one. Do you ever plan on doing vocal covers just for people to hold on to? This is from X Nick Hardcore X. I like this.
How's it going, Nick? I did one, and I just need to get it finalized. But I did a couple, actually. I did one of Forever by Azalea Dying, where I do all the vocals in that. I also did Necrophagist cover
yeah,
with David from Signs of the Swarm. That one hasn't, I'm still need to get that mixed, but that exists.
Cool.
Maybe I'll do some other ones. I'm not a huge fan of them personally, but occasionally I'll be like, oh, it'd be cool to redo this song. That was, I think for me, it's gotta be an older song that resonated with me growing up, maybe. That I would cover. I wouldn't probably cover anything that was new, modern or
right.
anything like that.
Right. No, I just think of your voice as being so versatile, you know, that it would be cool. I would love to. You're not on Twitch, are you? Do you have a Twitch account?
Yeah, I'm on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/KyleOfSacrifice.
Kyle. Okay. Kyle of Sacrifice. You go on there and do some covers on there. That would be sick. I would love to see that.
Yeah, maybe I could do that one day.
Follow Kyle. Kyle of, I'm putting the link in the chat. so people can.
I'd be logged in right now, but I changed my phone number and I've got to get that two-factor reset, so I can't log into it right now. But
I think I did it. Weird. I'm getting like a beach ball on my computer, and oh, weird. Okay, I did go. I think it's there. Cool. Yeah. No. Follow. There we go. That's me. Follow Kyle on Twitch. That's rad. No. What is B. Smith saying here? He wants to know. He's a big fan. He wants to know your top three songs to listen to for Boss. You have a top three? Can you pick three?
That's hard. There's one that's unreleased called Altered Eyes. That's one of my favorites off the new record. It's got this almost new metal two-step part.
Okay.
That is one of my favorite moments in the whole record.
Nice.
And I think it's got one of the coolest one-liners. I won't tell you what it is yet, but
good.
That's one of my favorite songs on the record. I'd say Animal, the one we just put out.
Sick.
That was super fun to do, and the music video I think is pretty awesome. Our video guy Joey Durango absolutely slayed it as far as the directing went, and all the actors involved were incredibly talented. If you guys like Japanese samurais, that will be a music video for you. So
there you go.
That's two, and then I gotta go with the OG Eclipse. That was the first song we ever wrote. And it seems to be one of the more popular tunes we've done. And it's just so much fun to play live because there's such a fun response when we get to that last breakdown in the song. So,
yep. No, I could see that.
Be one of my favorites.
I could see that being your show closer, maybe. I've never seen you guys guys play, right. But exactly, but I could see that. And I mean, it's up to over 3 million on Spotify. That's good. Moving some units.
Thank you.
Awesome. We've got a couple more questions here, if you don't mind. We got this one from Sarah Loves Cat 7. Will you always base your music off Berserk or head in another direction?
I too love cats, I have to mention. I think it may not. It may not be always based off of Berserk because, like I said, this project was never really meant to be a full band. The concept was something I just wanted to create an album for and kind of leave it at that. But I love Berserk and it's a huge part of my life. I have the brand tattoo on me. It's hard to let it go, but at the same time, I think I want to also include some of my own story within the music and maybe start to tell that a little bit, but maybe time will tell.
Follow-up question.
We'll see.
Follow-up question here. I don't believe it was talked about, you, Maximus. Is the album art based on the Berserk manga as well?
Originally, it was sort of a rough concept that was based upon sort of an... If you know the manga, there's a panel early on in the Black Swordsman arc that shows what they call the Unnamed Apostle. Sort of Guts sees that apostle transform into this disgusting demonic being, and that was sort of the basis, but we sort of expanded upon it, so you can see that the first EP has one monster and the second is the sort of demon behind like a beautiful woman, and then the Lifeblood has the beautiful woman ascending into the sky, and you're in the same plane as the EP, so it's all sort of connected. But it's roughly based upon that Unnamed Apostle scene in the manga. But I think it ties in more to the actual music than it does to Berserk.
All right. Well, there you go. Thanks for the questions, everybody. Those were awesome.
Thank you.
I'll let you go, Kyle. What else to tell the people before I let you go? Obviously, brandofsacrifice.com for the pre-order.
Yeah, brandofsacrifice.com. We also... You can sort of navigate to our various stores, but we have our North American pre-orders are on Indie Merch, and Rising Merch is for EU/UK or the rest of the world, I guess. We have another single coming out later this month before the album comes out. And in fact, it's one of my favorites on the record. I won't tell you what it is yet. Also, I just want to give a shout out to a couple of my friends' bands that you should check out.
Nice.
There's a band called Signs of the Swarm our homies that took us out on our very first tour, good friends of ours.
Awesome.
They just put out a song. Go check out their new song. Our friends in Sentinels, also part of our first tour, put out a new song. And our friends in Depths of Hatred, also part of that tour as well, put out a new song. So it's kind of crazy. Everything is coming full circle in a sense, but
yeah,
all the bands from that first tour ever have new songs. So
I love
check
that.
Them all out.
That was Signs of the Swarm, Depths of Hatred, and what was the middle one? I missed it.
Sentinels.
There we go. Some more music for people here to check out, because you know, you can never get too much, especially when you're talking about young, great, heavy bands, which I love.
Yeah.
I thought you said scented candles.
I do like scented candles.
Kyle, thank you so much for this. You're the man. I absolutely love hearing what you do vocally. It's impressive, and keep killing it, man.
Thank you, man. And I'm looking forward to new Silverstein.
Yeah, we're working on some stuff.
Hell yeah.
All right, man.
All right,
I'll
man.
Let you go. Take care.
Take care, dude. Bye-bye.
So there it is with Kyle Anderson of Brand of Sacrifice, one of the nicest guys I think I've ever had on the show. And what a band. Brand of Sacrifice with their new album, Lifeblood. This thing is awesome. If you like heavy music, you have to hear this. There's just no other way to put it. You need this record. I'm going to play a tune in just a second, but I want to remind you, please add me on Twitch. Tons of stuff happening this Tuesday. I'll have Mario from Blackout Problems, a band out of Germany that you guys might not know, on the show, and some other really, really great guests coming up every Tuesday. Wednesdays, me and Mike Howell, we do The New Noise, where we talk about all the new albums coming out every week. So get on there, check out the All Access Club, and enjoy this track. Hard to pick one from this record, but I'm going to go with track 3 from their new album, Lifeblood. This is called Animal on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. We'll see you next time.